Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I would tell you we're going to be at Beaumont on the afternoon with some great, great guests. You'll be hearing all of that stuff in the same way that Bino Ranson joined us last week over Costas. We're at the Beaumont on Thursday, and then next week, make some plans. Join us at Cooper's North. I know the Orioles are playing in the middle of the week as well, so they always have the game on there. They have great gumbo. Cooper's North on Wednesday, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I will have the Back to the Futures in my paws by the time I get to Beaumont. And then on the 30th, we're going to be at Coco's Pub in Lauraville. Oh, and the 7th of May at Red Brick Station. Man, I was there when they opened Red Brick Station 28 years ago, whatever it was. So Bill Blocker's been making this beer all this time, and I'm going to go over and drink some of it. Just like I did at the Beer and Bots with Ed Mullen and the good folks from Baltimore Robotics. Luke, I gotta tell you, I know I ran into all of some of my goons, Dave the Wave McAllister, former Radio One marketing man, and my 1991 got in my car, drove to Daytona Beach, and did spring break together. I had Joe Enoch out the other day, all of that. And they were asking me about Mr. Rubenstein, and they were asking about Katie Griggs. So I have a letter coming to Katie Griggs about why we were unrepresented on Jackie Robinson night in the press box because you had the night off. And David Rubenstein has a bobblehead on Saturday night, which, I mean, that's its own punchline, but it is what it is. This robotics thing on Wednesday night, Luke, Ed Mullen grabbed me and he said, "I think you need a bobblehead of your own." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Go over here." So I had the robotics people spin me. I want to give them the proper direct dimensions. Mike, who's a big listener and also a friend of Leonard Raskin, he's making a bobblehead of me. So I'm getting my own bobblehead, Luke. So there, I've arrived. I'm almost a billionaire or a multi-billionaire. Hey, the Orioles won. How was it? It was fun, huh?
Congratulations on that, first of all. But it's amazing what happens when you get off to an early lead to help out a starting pitcher who has not been very good this year. And that said, starting pitcher then pitches well. The game seems easy then. It's so much easier then. So, good night at the yard. I
That's such a
mean,
great baseball observation, though. The game is easier when you get good starting pitching. And when you
well,
don't see it for 3 weeks, just seeing it once, it's like, oh, because everybody was
I knew you
disparaging
were going to
Dean
do
Kramer
this,
over at the bar.
but I
They
knew
were
you were going
just
to do this.
what?
They had to score runs. You have to score. Like, I'm not going to ease off on the gas on this. I'm not going to ease off the accelerator on this.
Well,
This
that
team
grand slam cost John Martin $5,000. I'm going to tell you right now. So
is.
hit more of them is what I'm saying, you know?
But my point with that is, and I said this about Charlie Morton the previous night, that was a 1-0 ball game going into the fifth inning. And look, Charlie Morton melted down. I understand that. But his offense did nothing whatsoever to help him at all. And they weren't facing Garrett Crochet or Tarik Skubal or someone like that. They have to score runs. This team was built to score runs, and their offense has been mediocre at best. So it was great to see them jump out to a 4-0 lead in the second inning, and it was great to see Dean Kramer pitch accordingly for the most part. He did give up a solo home run in the top of the third, so there was for a moment a that's not really what you're looking for when you were just staked to a 4-0 lead, but he pitched well. It wasn't dominant, didn't miss a whole lot of bats. I mean, this Cleveland offense is kind of like Kansas City in the way of high contact. They're going to foul off a lot of pitches, they're going to make you work, they're going to frustrate you. It's not as though they have amazing hitters 1 through 9. I mean, of course, Jose Ramirez and Stephen Kwan are great players. But beyond that, you look at the rest of those players, you're talking about, someone like a Carlos Santana who's well past his prime, or guys that you're not as familiar with, but they have an approach that works for them.
They could have won a
Certainly.
World Series last year. They were good
Yeah.
enough at the end. I mean,
Well,
they were one of those teams.
and as I said to you last year, they had a bad starting rotation. It was really their bullpen being
Well, due to
great.
injury, much like the Orioles, right?
Yeah, but it was bad. I mean, it was just bad. But their bullpen was historically great, and their offense, while it certainly wasn't a juggernaut, like I said, they have an approach that works for them or works well enough for them. But give Dean Kramer credit. That was much more of a Dean Kramer start that, I'm not saying you get every time out over the last 3 years, but we certainly recognized he's been a much better pitcher than what he had been over his first few starts of 2025. So that
He
was
can
good to
make a
see.
whole lot of money pitching the way he pitched on
Sure.
Wednesday night against the playoff team.
I mean, I know there's been a sentiment about around Dean Kramer over the last couple of years of wanting to see better, wanting to see him take the next step. But I think over the last 3 years, he's proven he's a league average starter, which, by the way, that's still valuable. I'm not saying
You
that's
can
an
win on
ace.
that, and you did on Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, that's not necessarily the guy
Yeah.
that you say, oh, we'll win with that in October. No, but that's a guy that will help you navigate 162 and be successful. So you're hoping there's more of that to come from Dean Kramer. And I get it. It's 5 1/3 innings. I'm not going to sit here doing cartwheels, but relative to what it's been
Dude,
for
I'm
their
not beating on
rotation.
Dean Kramer. He's thank God for him because he's still here doing it, showing up, being a part of it, you know, part of the old trade and like all that stuff and the old guard even. But like, you know, to rely on him every
Sure.
fifth day to give you
Sure.
that kind of outing, I always say I don't trust Dean Kramer because like this is the guiding light with every pitcher that ever didn't make it, or even some that did, Sidney Ponson, people that made a lot of money. It was efforts like this that you say he can be that good on any given night. On, you know, if he stays in the strike zone, if he gets some run support, if his head's on right after the first walk or the first ball one that should have been a strike, if they were had computers, like just all of that part of managing his countenance, as well as just his stuff's not electrifying, right? But it's big league stuff, to your point. And unlike some of the other horses, he's out there taking the ball every fifth day, doing the stuff that the whole injured list isn't doing right now.
Sure. And I mean, that's why I said it. Over the last 3 years, going into 2025, last 3 seasons, he's averaged right around 26 starts a year. I mean, he's kind of been that guy that's good for one IL stint over the course of the season, but he's still making 26 starts. He's still giving you somewhere in the neighborhood of 140, 150 innings. And he's had a 3.85 ERA over the last 3 years. I mean, again, that's not ace material. It's not number two starter material, but it's back half of the rotation material that I mean, they're desperate just to get that much right now. So when
Well,
he
he
can
got his
do it,
ERA under seven, right?
yeah,
So
exactly.
well, that
So
dude, when it's that
it's a
bad
step.
early on,
It's a step.
you're like, you want to see him in the threes, dude. If he gets to the threes, he's throwing the baseball. He's gonna have, you
Sure.
know, three out of the next five starts are gonna look like that, and no more blow-ups and hanging in. And then at the end of May, we'll look up. He'll be an above 500 pitcher. He'll be a 4.2 ERA guy, and we'll say he's straightened out. And right for now, he's their ace. He's their ace right now,
They
based
don't
on that
have an
effort on
ace.
Wednesday night.
They don't have an ace. I'm not. He was
Oh, he was
solid.
a jack or a king.
They don't have an ace right now. I
I
mean,
don't want to call him a queen because that guy's getting drafted next
yeah.
week, you know,
Zach,
so.
their ace is on the IL. Zach Eflin, who played catch, and it looks like it's starting to, looks like he's feeling good. So hopefully he's back. Hope in a couple weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. But it was good enough. And like I said, in concert with, hey, your offense scored some runs early on, and they gave your starting pitcher a little bit of a cushion, right? I mean, you give them a 4-run lead in the second inning. They have to do that. And it doesn't mean you're going to score 9 every night. Let's be clear. I'm not being unrealistic here. All of the
Also,
all of
the bullpen, you know, it's a different game when the bullpen comes in 5-0 and gives you a clean sheet.
Yeah, well, their bullpen, other than Sunday, their bullpen's been good and at times really good. I
Yeah, I'm
mean,
starting to buy in a little bit. I mean, I see the names in the major league pedigree and the cold weather and like all of that and easing Batista into this and waiting on Kittredge. I mean, dude, I'll hear all of that. I think the bullpen has potential to be better than the starting staff
oh, easily.
right this minute. Yes, for sure.
But the key to that is you need to get more starts like they got on Wednesday night from Kramer, which I'm not going to sit here and say 5 1/3 is a deep start, a deep outing. It's not, but it's better than 4 innings, and suddenly you're asking your bullpen to cover 15 outs. If you ask those guys to cover 12 plus outs every single night, then it catches up to you, and it catches up to you quickly. So that's why, can you at least get into the sixth inning? I mean, even 5 or 10 years ago, we talk about, oh, you need your starters to get into the seventh inning, get into the seventh inning. Well, doesn't happen a whole lot, even around the rest of baseball. I mean, strategically speaking, teams are inclined to go to their bullpen because you have guys throwing 98, right? And teams have multiple guys that are throwing that hard. But can you at least get into the sixth inning a little more consistently with this group that you have right now? Even if you're giving up 3 or 4 runs in the process, And that's why I keep saying you need your offense to score and you need your offense to be the strength that everyone has lauded it to be, that they've built it to be. So when you get that, as they did on Wednesday night, and again, it's not going to be a grand slam every night. And what's funny about it is they had the 4-0 lead, but go look. I mean, it's not as though they had a lot of traffic on the bases against Gavin Williams. I mean, that was kind of the inning, right? I mean, it was a couple walks, and before you know it, Jackson Holiday hits the grand slam. But
And
so it
then the
wasn't like
Indians had a chance to get back in it before the floodgates broke in
they
the eighth.
did, and that's where it was nice. And you said it. I mean, credit to the bullpen, and they got some big outs. There was a big catch by Heston Kerstad along the way that again allowed the pitching to look as good as it did. But you need that,
And
and
Soto put a couple guys on, so,
he did,
and
right? I
that
mean,
got sticky.
he got the strikeout the previous inning, and then he put a couple guys on. So it was good to see Cano do what he did, because we know if there's been one knock on Cano the last, going back to last year, it's been not being very good when you inherit runners. And as a reliever, especially a high leverage reliever, you've got to be able to strand some inherited runners. It doesn't mean you're going to do it every single time. And of course, if you come in with the bases loaded, nobody out, I don't expect you to be a miracle worker. But you come in with a couple guys on and nobody out, or a couple guys on and one out, if you're going to be that, if you're going to be deemed a really good reliever, you've got to strand those guys, and you got to strand those guys at least with a relatively high percentage, relatively high frequency. So he was able to do that, and they got
You got
the.
two-thirds of the way there. Soto got, they almost had the bags loaded. I mean, and there
Sure.
was the game was a little in the
It was
balance in that
dicey.
moment, and they need that on a night-by-night basis. Which, by the way, Luke Jones is here. He'll be at the ballpark this weekend. The Reds are in town, which always makes me think of Sparky Anderson and Pete Rose and the Big Red Machine and all that stuff. The notion that the bullpen gets out of this, Batista, I mean. They said all along they were going to slow play this. I think Elias said that. Brandon Hyde said that. He's only appeared a handful of times. They haven't been in those kind of games. They haven't been in a 3-2 ninth inning game, 4-3. They haven't hit enough to have a lead. They haven't pitched well enough to be, even if it's 6-5 or 7-6, but 6-4, whatever it is, that moment where he comes out of the bullpen and becomes that thing that they were building him to be 2 years ago and dimming the lights and playing that stupid wire stuff that they probably shouldn't. It's probably not a real good image thing if they're all about their image. But I would say the Batista thing, that's to come. I mean, if they're going to be a contending team, he's going to be their closer, and they're going to have those nights. And to your point, Yennier Cano finding himself in that position, and then not only slamming the door and doing the work and making Soto look good, but then the offense coming back out and sort of unraveling the Guardians at the end of the game and putting their foot down. That felt, that was satisfying was the word I was, that's the word I told you I'd start taking notes. Satisfying victory. That's why I said to you had a good time, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, again, it's not just that they won, but they won in a way that, to your point, it was dicey in that top of the eighth inning. But then you put some separation between you and the opposition in the bottom of the eighth. I mean, Batista was warming up. He was going to go in, even with it being what? I guess it was 5-1 at that point in time, because Laureano had hit the home run, which hilarious. I mean, little inside baseball here. I had literally just said, not the previous pitch, I think it was two pitches before, I had leaned over to someone else sitting nearby and said, "Man, Laureano's been so bad. I mean, this has been really bad." Hits a home run, of course. I mean, it always figures. Just like when you compliment a pitcher that he's been so good, he gives up a home run or something like that. But it was good to see them add on the runs. One thing you mentioned, and I do want to acknowledge this, as I was just giving some props to the bullpen, but I am still reluctant to, deem it a really good bullpen because of what you just said. They haven't had a ton of high leverage situations where you're protecting a one run, two run, three run lead. They did on Sunday and they failed, right? I mean, the one thing I'd say about, not just Sunday's game where they lost to Toronto, but also what we saw Wednesday night, they need one of their lefties to be a high leverage guy. And it had looked like Gregory Soto the last couple times, not so much, but there's no confidence level in CNL Perez right now, obviously, because
And
of
Danny Coulomb's not coming home.
Danny Coulomb's not coming through that door, and Keegan Aiken, he's been a little shaky his last couple times out, and
I
he
don't
was
trust him.
Aiken was good last year, but I think you have to understand where he was. He was pitching much more middle relief and a lot of lower leverage,
Dude, they put him in an
medium
8-1
leverage
game. They're
spots.
9-1 game, right?
But it comes down to it. They're going to need one of those lefties to pitch because you're going to face lineups that have lefties in them that you need them to get out.
It feels
So,
to me like Aiken's the first guy they pull out fifth, sixth inning.
I
And
mean,
you know, that unto itself is usually the game's usually close at that point. It means the starter's kind of failed. And to your point, always your point. I'm gonna make you the king of offense around here. Hey, are we hitting the ball or are we not? We have 5 runs or we have 2 runs in the fifth inning. You know, where are we?
And again, it's not saying, oh, you must score 10 runs every night. And to be very clear, to be perfectly clear here, because I'm not giving the pitching a pass. As I said to you, I used the comparison the other day. Right now, the starting pitching is the D student that's getting Fs, and the offense is the honor student who has a C minus average. And you're kind of saying, what the heck's going
Well,
on
you were an
here?
elementary school teacher, so maybe
Yeah.
this is the difference in the expectations of a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old. You know, we expect the offense to do this, and we're okay with the pitching just doing that. You know what I mean? Like, and
And
it's
we just didn't,
okay.
and we just didn't, we didn't have very high expectations for the rotation to begin with. And then you lose Zach Eflin on top of having already lost Grayson Rodriguez in the spring. That's where I look at this and say, what are we really expecting from them? Yes, better from Dean Kramer. And yes, I'm not saying Charlie Morton, oh, it's fine. You're totally fine. No. But at the same time, if your biggest strength isn't going to be a strength at all for you, then everything else, it doesn't even matter. You're going to lose and you're not going to be successful. Even if their offense does what they're supposed to do on a much more consistent basis, we're still going to be asking whether it's enough when you have the worst starter ERA in the majors. So it was great to see Dean Kramer do what he did on Wednesday. We need to see much more of that, not just from him, but these other guys. And again, it wasn't dominance. It was 5 1/3 innings. The bar is very low right now as it pertains to their starting pitching. So can they get more starts where you say, hey, you have a chance? And we're going to see Sagano tonight. And I think, even with him, what he did on Saturday, it wasn't a great outing against Toronto whatsoever, but he didn't get bombed to the point where they didn't have a chance to win the game come the sixth inning. So, you're looking for more of that. You just can't have these outings where you're giving up six, 5 or 6 runs and you're out of it in the fifth inning, but because your offense isn't, scoring at a high level. So, we'll see how it works out on that front. But, with the bullpen, I think there's still a question as far as how the hierarchy shakes out. I mean, obviously, if Batista's available, he's getting the ball in the ninth inning. But we also know back to back, he's not doing back to backs. We saw that play out Toronto Saturday and Sunday. Cano is clearly the guy that you're looking at to kind of be Batista, I suppose, on the night that Batista's not available. But I think what we saw from Brian Baker, I mean, inning and a third scoreless innings, inning and a third scoreless from him,
Well, he's
following
getting
up
some
Kramer.
confidence, clearly, right?
I mean, really, let's call a spade a spade. And I've been critical of Brian Baker, and it's not like anyone has been unfair. They've stuck with him and they've tried to make him a thing in their bullpen for the better part of 3 years now. He was really good the first 4 months of 2022, and then it wasn't as good. 2023, it was a struggle,
And
big
the
time
22
struggle.
team wasn't very good.
Well,
So, right.
the second half they were,
They were
though, right? I
catching.
mean,
Yeah,
they were
right.
bad in the first half, but they were good in the second half, right? I mean, that was when they had the winning streak in July and all of that. But the point is, they've clearly been a believer in the stuff, and now I think you've seen him develop a much better changeup. He has better movement on his fastball. Again, he's got to continue it, right? I mean, we know relief pitchers are, for every great one that you can count on year after year, you'll have guys that are good for a month or two and then they're bad. And then guys that are good for a half a season and then they're bad, or they're bad for half a season and really good. So he's got to be consistent, but he's been their best reliever. I mean, he's really been the guy that it hasn't been in the traditional sense where you say, oh, well, your ninth inning guys, your best reliever is your closer. No, he's come in and pitched in some pretty big spots where, he comes in and there's guys on base and he slams the door, or he comes in and retires the side in the sixth inning and then comes back out and pitches, into the seventh inning for you. So
Well,
he's
he's the one that they're going to trust in the first high
yeah.
leverage situation where they need him based on game situation, based on the score.
Yeah, he's kind of been in that spot that, if you recall, Jacob Webb was doing a lot of that for them last year, where he'd come in the sixth inning, some guys on base, and they'd ask him, "Hey, can you get us through the seventh inning?" And he'd give them an inning and a third or an inning and two thirds, and wasn't always extreme high leverage, but generally you were having him pitch in close games in those
I would
spots.
call it a
So,
grown-up role.
yeah, it's not the, I don't want to say it's the traditional fireman role where,
Dude, it's
you're
not what
coming in
Keegan
and,
Aiken did coming into an 8-1 game to mop
yeah,
up. I mean,
exactly.
there are degrees in this bullpen. And to your
Yeah.
point, we're 2.5 weeks in trying to say who's got what role, even though it's like, in the NBA basketball, there's a one, there's a two, there's a three, there's a four. Starting rotation, there's one, a two, three. We got a closer, we got a setup guy, we got a long relief, short relief. They all have titles, but then there becomes situational, like, which guy am I pointing at? And he is first up. I would, at this point,
Yeah.
because of that, and the more he builds this, he's first up in whatever that situation is where you're going through the middle of the order, to get outs, right? And you need that. But at least we're starting to identify, because you would have told me he was going to be their first
Yeah.
guy. If you'd have told me that a month ago, I'd have been like, what? I mean, in the same way you and I are discussing it right now.
Well, I'm right there with you. I mean, I was the one saying that you can't have Brian Baker in your bullpen if you're a serious contender. And hey,
Did
he's
you
done the
say that?
Sure.
They call me the one that's not nice.
Well, I mean, think about it. Brian Baker, go back to the second half of 2023. He's barely pitched in the majors. I mean, and when he has, it hasn't been very good. So,
Yeah,
I don't
you've
think
been
that
in
was
those
out of
locker
turn.
rooms after games where things haven't gone his way and they take an L, right? Like,
Sure.
literally, I've watched that.
But part of that, like I said, is this is someone who's had a growth mindset and has worked on his stuff. He's developed a better changeup. He's shown better movement on his fastball, and he misses some bats, but he's also just, he's getting outs for you. So,
It's
I
not
mean,
accidental either. And that's a tribute to the organization and
it is.
the people that want to fire Elias and all these guys because the pitchers' arms all fell off. They've gotten guys, they got the most out of Bradish. They've gotten
Been
there are
success
guys
stories.
here. They've had success stories, and I don't even know where their failures are other than injuries, right? I mean, Suarez kind of worked out okay. I mean, even Povich right now is hanging around a little bit, like, and it gives you a night where it feels good. They got Dean Kramer good enough that we're praising him this morning, right? So I do, and they've made changes there. But to your point, fundamentally, and I spent almost an hour with our friend Rob Nyer this week talking baseball and the history of baseball, one of my favorites, just about the pitching epidemic and the arm injuries and all that that has not escaped this franchise, but now they have to pick up the remnants of it and work with the guys they have. And can they make pitchers better? They can. I mean, I'm a believer in that. In the same way that we talk about Eric DaCosta picking football players next week, I'm pretty convinced that they're good at doing that. You know what I mean? Like, they're bad at a lot of things. Integrity. We can go through Justin. So we can go through the list of all that. They lie. Just all of it. But are they good at this? You give them a hard time for not drafting pitchers. Every smart baseball person I talk to, including you, has read the 21 Blackjack book and knows that arms blow out and bats don't. And if you're taking the risk, bet on the bats, but then you have to figure the pitching out, which we talk about here all the time. And then can you make pitchers better or get the most at, maximize them, is what I would say.
Yeah.
I would say this group will, until their arms fall off. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I literally, until their arms fall off, they've gotten good productivity out of they've made star names and made us think about John Means and Bradish and these guys that all weren't Steven Strasburg, right?
Right. I think where the criticism would lie would be that they haven't drafted and developed. It's generally been someone that there's some kind of baseline that they like. Like for example, I mean, Bradish was clearly someone they identified when they traded Bundy, and they said, "Hey, in the Angel system, we like that Bradish kid. I mean, he's got something to work with there," and they work with it. But the thing you would say, it's not as though they haven't drafted any pitchers; they just haven't drafted pitchers early. And if you really, again, if you're really looking at this thing holistically and trying to look at the big picture as far as where they need to be, if you have any conviction in what you're doing, you'd like to think, okay, well, maybe you didn't draft a pitcher to the fifth or sixth or seventh round, that you'd like to think somewhere along the way that you've developed a pitcher or two in
Well, and
that
that's
way.
where like the Norby Stowers trade, we're looking
Sure.
at it holding our nose right now. But if that kid's in the rotation in August and looks like Dean Kramer,
Yeah.
you
Just
know,
get
I
him
mean,
healthy.
yeah.
Can he get healthy enough to pitch at Triple A for a while? I mean, Trevor Rogers, I'm not going to sit here and say I did cartwheels about that deal when they acquired him, but there is clearly something they saw and identified, and they saw the pitcher he had been with the Marlins, what, 3 years earlier, where people were kind of talking about him in terms of the rookie of the year conversation, all-star, all that, and it just dissip his stuff dissipated. So there were questions about him being healthy, and keep in mind this was a knee thing that he had before spring training. It wasn't an arm issue. He popped, it was his kneecap, that he popped. But I think, you're looking to see them do more on that front, when it comes to pitching, because as I said, if you're not going to spend $200 million on a starting pitcher, you did attempt to do it with Burns. I think it was a legit offer, but generally, we clearly haven't seen them in that space. And if you're not drafting pitchers early and you're not making a big emphasis in the draft in pitchers, then you've got to make that up somewhere along the way. It can't solely be 1 year contracts for guys in their 30s and all that. And then what? Especially when you have the injuries start to pile up, then you say, "Oh my gosh!" I mean, now it's crazy what they're trying to navigate at this point. That's why, even with their offense doing what I think it's capable of doing more consistently, there's still questions about how good it can be right now, at least, over the next 6 weeks, let's say, until we're talking about Eflin being back, which I don't think Eflin's going to be out 6 weeks, but until he's back, until we're talking more about having a timetable with Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, Gibson is expected to be part of this thing by the end of the month, So once you have a couple more options like that, then you start to say, all right, it can be a little bit better. It can be a little more functional. It can be, how about shoot for mediocrity at that point in time, right? I mean, it's worse than mediocre right now. So baby steps. And really, that's why right now you do ask, can you do much more than tread water right now? That's why when you have an opportunity like they do tonight to win a series, to win two in a row for the first time, do that, do that. That doesn't mean you're going to suddenly reel off 9 of your next 10, but you've got to take advantage. And if you can just try to compartmentalize, win 2 out of 3, split a 4-game series, not be in a position where you're having these prolonged losing streaks or anything like that, then you can hang around, and you might be closer to 500 than the kind of space you want to be that suggests you're going to be a serious contender. But then you're hoping as the year goes on, you're going to get more of these guys back. And we know Kyle Bradish, for example, is now throwing bullpens. He's there's a very practical chance. And I don't say it's a guarantee because it's coming back from Tommy John, but he's in play to be there in the second half at some point in time. And it doesn't mean that it's going to work, but he also could give you a lift down the stretch. So,
And by
but
the
you,
way, that's the first time I think we've talked about that, right? The first time
yeah.
we've said maybe he'll pitch this year.
I mean, I've said it's, to me, when you look
He's
at the,
been really out of sight, out of mind, but now that we're into the fray, we're like, all right, are we getting
he's
help or are we
doing
not?
well. Again, you don't know how someone's going to react once they start throwing bullpens and start throwing all their pitches, and then they graduate to sim games and live BP. And then what happens once they go out on a minor league rehab assignment and they're back in a live game competitive environment? We saw
And then
how
there's
this
that
worked.
seven-letter word setback, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there can
It's
be.
not linear, dude. It never is,
It's
right?
not, but there are also guys who come back in 13 months or 14 months and I'm not saying they're 100% completely themselves instantly, but they're good. And it
Batista's
doesn't.
on the cusp of that right now,
Well,
right?
Batista, I would say with Batista, the difference there is he's had a much longer recovery time. Now, they're being careful. That's fine. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not criticizing them for that. The point I'm making, though, with Bradish, because this wasn't Bradish having it and then sitting out all of last season. And then he's back, for part of this season. Keep in mind, he had it in mid-June. It was mid to late June when he had that. So he's not even at 12 months yet. So believe me, I am not sitting here saying he's going to be their starter the first game coming out of the All-Star break. I don't think it's going to be that fast. But could he be there in August? Could he be there in August and maybe he's part of your rotation the last 6 weeks of the season? If you're able to hang around and be in
Yeah, if you
contention,
think to me, tell me he's going to have eight starts and they're going to
I'd
be
sign up for
okay,
that right now. I'd say
and they're going to be
great.
okay, Dean Kramer kind of starts, I'll take them, especially the Dean Kramer we saw on Wednesday night. Are we done with this? Because we got the Indians for one more. We're going to talk Shigano because I have a really important Oriole-related topic we need to discuss here.
Yeah. I mean, just hey, Jackson Holliday, good to see him breaking 0 for 17 with a grand slam. I mean, as I mentioned, as I totaled myself for being critical of Laureano in the press box, home run 2 pitches later, and O'Hearn, got a hold of one. So good to see them do that. As I said, Heston Kerstad, great catch in the right center field gap. I mean, we've talked about his defense. It's not his biggest strength. That was a plus play, and it was on a night where they also. They kicked around a couple balls too, but he made a fantastic play in that spot. I mean, that was a huge play for them.
Martinez was trying to go all John Lowenstein late in the game, down seven
Oh,
runs and run into the wall. I mean, that was crazy, right?
I've seen, I mean, that wasn't the worst one I've seen, but he hit the wall pretty hard, especially on a cold night. That's not going to feel good. I mean, it's definitely not going to feel good, but it was good to see them pull away late. It's good to see them win a game comfortably. And it's not going to be 9-1 every night, but. I've been hard on this offense. I absolutely have been. But again, it's because the expectations are for the offense to be what leads the way, and it hasn't been leading the way. It did on Wednesday night, and Dean Kramer responded accordingly then by giving a much more representative outing than what we'd seen from him over his first three.
All right, even though I was in the great state, Keystone State of Pennsylvania, Luke's homeland over the weekend, and I was spotted in downtown York, Pennsylvania, and then in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I get out on the internet from time to time and I read Luke's mom's tweets. So if I were to do a segment here on Luke's mom's tweets, but they, y you know, you put a picture up the other night, and we're a week back on this, right? Where they were wearing the orange on orange on orange,
The pajamas.
the Pat Dobson pajamas, and the Blue Jays were wearing that. And the Blue Jays, by the way, everybody in their lineup looks like Devin White to me when they're wearing that. And I'm very happy with the early Blue Jays baby blues, so I'm good with that. The orange Oriole thing, we've seen that picture. Cuellar, Dobson, McNally, Palmer. I've even seen some infield shots of what Brooks looked like that night, looking like a pumpkin. Nobody ever, they never wore them again. They have no, they have this sort of weird sentimental quality in the same way that I think of Justin Tucker always in those mustard pants that you hated so much that I thought the mustard pants and the purple looked really good. So I, it goes to show you what I know. Look, they looked like the 1958 Baltimore Ravens to me, and not, so they it has a real throwback. Plus, it's gold, gold, Jerry, gold. So this orange thing, Luke's mom did not approve of them, and I promised of your mom that I would opine on this, or at least bring it up as a topic, given that you're the king of fashion tweets here, especially now that Connolly's retired, right?
Well, I guess that's my shtick. I don't know.
Well, just
I've
don't
yet.
steal the national anthem stick. That's all.
But I'll say this: I'm not a big fan overall. First of all, I love the orange jersey. Just the orange jersey with the white pants, or the orange jersey with the gray pants on the road. I'm a big fan of that look. I don't. I'm not a big fan of any baseball pants that aren't white or gray. Or I'll allow the powder blue because of, nostalgia, seeing the KC Royals or seeing the Phillies in their powder blue.
Cardinals wore a beautiful powder
Right.
blue back in the day,
I'm
yes.
fine with that, but that being said, I think if you're going to have a look along those lines, I think I do like the all orange better than the all black City Connects. If you recall last year, they kind of phased out the black pants with the City Connect
Dude, they've
jerseys.
done so many things, right?
So
Like if you take every military
all teams
jersey
do
and
this
pink
stuff.
jerseys and pink jerseys and whatever that they're
All teams
doing
do
every
this,
year with
other
the
than the Yankees. The Yankees are the one holdover, right? I mean, but even like the Red Sox had the Boston Marathon City Connects,
Oh my
which
God, they were horrible.
some people liked, but a lot of people did not. And now we're getting to the point where we're at teams introducing their City Connect Part Two. By the way, go look at this. Of all the City Connects, I think the White Sox actually had one of the better ones. It was all black, but it had white pinstripes, and I thought it kind of had the South Side or whatever.
You're gonna make me pull up all, you know,
That was
is there
one of
such a thing?
no,
All
wait, just
City
wait.
Connect.
Just
I want to see
stay
them
with
all.
me.
Go ahead. I want to see them.
They had one of the better ones. If you're going to do it, I thought it was a sleek looking City Connect for what those are. And again, not liking different colored pants or whatever. But
It
they are
said South
pivoting.
Side on it, right? They look,
Yeah, it
yeah, you
said
know what
South
they look
Side.
like? They look like a softball outfit, dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
honestly,
know.
it,
But
yeah.
I was just saying, of all the City Connects, that was one where I said, all right, at least that feels White Sox like. It feels like something that, enhances their image in
The
some way.
Colorado Rockies look like their license plates. I mean, I'm just
But
looking at these.
that
Yeah.
said, the White Sox, I saw they're getting ready to unveil a new one because these City Connects are apparently a 3-year deal with Nike, and then they want to roll out a different one. The newest one I saw is kind of a it's a mashup with the Chicago Bulls. I kid you not, it looks like I remember back in the 90s, everyone wanted a Michael Jordan Bulls jersey. I mean that for like my generation, like kids,
Right.
back in the 90s. And I remember you could go somewhere like Ollie's or some kind of a bargain shopping place, and you would get like basically what would be a non-licensed Bulls looking jersey that would say Chicago, but it looked really kind of cheesy. Well, the White Sox, the rumored leak for their new City Connects is along those lines. So I don't know. I mean,
It can't be worse than the Titas hat from the Rangers back in the
oh
off season.
yeah.
By the
Yeah,
way, the
so
Seattle Mariners, their throwbacks look like Bruce Bochy, so I can check off on that. St. Louis has that the Lou with the
yeah.
birds.
The hat stinks though. I don't mind the jersey, but the hat is lazy. Like that, go look at the hat with that.
You know,
I
the
mean, it's
Braves are wearing like a Ralph Garr thing, which is cool. You know, like,
some
I don't
teams are
know. To
okay,
San
but yeah.
Diego, they look like they're Manny Machado in his pajamas. I mean, it's.
The Pirates kind of leaned into looking like the 70s Pirates. That's one of the
Yeah, which
better
I
ones.
hated.
I well, I'm just saying, as looks go for each individual team.
Yeah, some of these things are ridiculous. I mean,
Oh,
the
they're
Twins have
awful.
so many beautiful throwbacks in the Killebrew Oliva era and stuff like that. And I'm a Jersey guy. You know what I'm going to do because of your mom? And this would be great to invite your mom one day. Maybe we could have Todd Wrightham come down from Philly, my buddy, who's the Jersey guy. And we've struck up a crazy friendship, and he comes down to games and stuff. He lives in Philly. He's written books on jerseys. Look him up, Radom. He's been a guest on the show many, many times. And he discusses this at a very high level. He's an artist. I mean, he's done a handful of like Super Bowl low. He's done all sorts of stuff in sports. He's a real dude. And he's a friend of Rasig. So, like, and Dick Girardi. I can put this whole thing together where we can get him down to Fadley's one day. And we can have a summit. Is that a good word? I was going to call it a forum, a conference. I mean, what it's really going to be is beer and crab cakes at Fadley's. That's what it's going to turn out to be. But I'm figuring,
Never a bad thing.
I got Chad Wiesling coming out this week, and he's my agent buddy, and you've never sat with him. Pike and met him and fell in love with him 5 years ago because you fall in love with NFL agents who are from Baltimore, went to Maryland, or from Hagerstown, who love heavy metal rock. But more than that, like, he's Josh Jacobs' agent. He's going out to Green Bay next week, and he sit with me for an hour at the Beaumont. Dude, that's where like you and I, you know, eat, right? I mean, when we start to talk to really smart people about smart things. So as much as you love fashion tweets and all that, I got to get you in with Todd. And I know your mom's, you know, fashion conscious up there in Southern PA. So I want to make sure that, you know, we take care of her needs here as a listener too. Because nobody listens to show. Now that my mother's dead, your mother's alive. So we have, thanks, Mom, for listening. There's somebody's mother's listening to the show, at least.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, I am very much a traditionalist when it comes to uniforms. Like back on opening day, we never mentioned it at the time, but like the Orioles wore their black jerseys on the opener against Toronto. I didn't like that. Home whites and road grays on opening day. Like, I'm much more of that thought. You can have an alternate top or
You
two. I
know
mean,
what's weird is who makes the decision? Is that Greg Bader?
oh,
Is that
no,
Kane
no.
Briggs? Is that
In
like.
fairness, I think the Orioles have kind of gone, at least if you noticed, when Eflin pitches, they are almost always in their black jerseys. I think he
That's a
likes the
Scott
black jersey.
Erickson thing
Yeah,
from the
right.
beginning,
Ben
right? Yeah.
McDonald liked it early on. Like, I think 93 was when they introduced the black jersey. That was a Ben McDonald thing. And then Scott Erickson a couple years after that. So I think that's what it is. But I would
Dude,
like the
that was the
black.
Atlanta Falcons going to black, and everybody was wearing black in 1993,
I mean,
right?
I mean,
But the
one of the
Orioles have
Orioles,
black in their color scheme.
yeah, they're
So,
allowed to wear
like,
black
yeah, I'm
jerseys.
not.
Yeah.
Listen, I
The
love
only thing I
alternate jerseys. I hate hideous ones that get off brand and that
I have to
just
say
getting off
this.
brand, you know?
I have to say this. I would very much like the black jersey, but for one factor, they wear the terrible O's cap. Hate that cap.
I agree with that.
Hate that
You know what
cap.
I hate,
Wear the
and this is
cartoon bird.
really
Even
going to make
the
me.
City Connect cap is way better than that O's cap. And I don't like the rest of the City Connect, but at least the script B looks way better than the O's. That is just a, let's face it, is a ripoff of the Oakland A's cap.
Well, and the O's part of this, and can I really go off, get out on the
I
lawn
know the
and
lack, the
yell?
Baltimore thing. I mean, we know. I
No, 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 no,
understand
no,
that.
no,
I
no,
just
no.
don't think it's just not a good looking cap.
No. I don't think I've ever said this out loud. I
Okay,
say
go
this to
ahead.
my wife all the time, and I'm never at the ballpark with you because you have a press pass and I don't go very often. But if I was at the ballpark sitting in the press box with you, and I hear that cheer that they started in this ballpark when the team really stunk back in the aughts. Let's go, O's! Let's go, O's! We never did that at Memorial Stadium. I like the charge. I like the Memorial Stadium sounds. I like, like Oriole Magic. I like all of that. This was a newfangled modern thing that clearly was baked up by in the Greg Bader era, and it never it, it was it's not organic. It did not come from fans. This splash zone thing, I don't know what the hell it is or why I'd want to sit out there getting wet on a
But they're
50-degree
that's
night.
not for you though.
It's not for me. I
Right.
hear you and
But
all of that, but if we're talking about things that come to the ballpark that don't feel organic to me. Wild Bill was organic. Things that are the pie thing, even with Adam Jones, until they made him stop because they were trying to get money out of Rodney. There have been organic things, and I was not a pie guy at all. You know that. Like it's
I
just
know.
not was not my shtick in that era at all. And the peanut shooting in the dugout when everybody's when the, you know they're interviewing a interviewing players in the game. Rob Long in the dugout. I never in a million years, if you would have told me Rob Long would be in the dugout talking to every player that comes over on Sunday afternoons to see what they think. How did that feel? I don't I like they do stuff that on a daily basis, but the jerseys to me and the orange thing that they're trying. And the orange thing, I didn't love it, hate it. It is part of their history. So for that, I like that more than the City Connects, as you pointed out. And I like that more than the San Diego Padres wearing pajamas or like those Boston things that they wore. I mean, if you're gonna bastardize your jersey and you have a perfectly beautiful jersey, you have a perfectly beautiful. Michael Phelps was wearing the ornithologically correct hat, and he's so young that he
It's so
doesn't
funny.
even.
That's the throwback now,
That's
which
it.
is
He
really
said it was
funny.
a
Yeah,
throwback, which is
it
funny.
totally is.
And I remember being at the Crown Gasoline Station in 1988 and 89 when Craig Worthington wore that hat for the very first time, and it was the 1954 SK baseball cards. Like it looked like, oh my God, it was a 58 Orioles. My dad's like, they stunk when they wore those hats. You
What's
know,
old is
like,
it's one of the, it's so one of those
and the
things. What's old?
cartoon panel is so me, but when I see Gunnar Henderson in it, it doesn't look right to me. It doesn't feel like the right, And at some point, because Michael Phelps likes the ornithologically correct bird, and that's what Cal was wearing in that early 90s period when he was hitting the cover off the ball, they'll go back to that hat too. And on nights when they wear that hat, I'll think they look good. But A's and adopting that, I never nobody ever called them the A's. And I worked at three newspapers. I've been in the stands. I've been in Dundalk. I've been on buses. People call them the Orioles, the Birds, whatever. But I don't know many people after 1968. And I spent a lot of time in Highland Town. Who calling them A's and O's and like, yeah, no,
Although
I mean,
as a
it's
result,
contrived to me.
I hear you. I
It's like a
mean,
hair, it's like
I would
hard
also
facts.
say I think across the board in pro sports in 2025, there's a lot of contrived stuff, and that's just kind of where it is. They're trying to brand, they're trying to
Oh my
branch out,
God,
they're
the whole
trying to
social
cast a
media
wide.
channel is a
Yeah.
contrived
So,
reality
but
show
I
of
would say because of
nonsense.
what you just said, and I don't disagree with you, if we're talking 25 years ago, but because of even some of those things, albeit contrived, You probably do hear more younger people calling, younger people calling them the O's that wouldn't have otherwise. But it's funny you mentioned this. I have to say this, and again, I'm giving you a full blown. You know that I was out there quite a bit when in 2019, for example, when they're losing 115 games, where I kid you not, one of my internal jokes in my mind when you would hear the Let's Go O's chant and the Orioles were down 7-1 in the seventh inning. You know what I would change it to in my mind? Let's go home.
Home.
Let's go home.
Home.
So there you go. You mentioned that. So every time I hear that chant, I think of the darkest days of
Dude, can you
covering the
imagine if they
Orioles.
credentialed me during those eras and I sat next to you in the, at any point on a summer night just to come down and hang out and annoy the hell out of you, as I've been known to do? And that I wouldn't be yelling that out loud for the
Oh
rest of
no, I
my
mean,
life, you know,
you gotta be
that I would know
a
that, so.
pro, but yeah, that was definitely something that became a little bit of a joke in my mind, or if I would te be
When the
texting a
Orioles
friend about
ice
the
come and
game.
taps you on the shoulder and takes your press pass, they're going to remember that you said that. The let's go
I didn't
home,
say it
let's
out
go
loud. I'm
home,
just
you know.
saying it was something that
Well, you
would be in
just
my
did, and
mind.
now we did it on, and
And
Chris Yulman's going to hear it, and next
not
thing you.
anymore. I'm saying, that was the 2018-19 Orioles, which, oh my goodness, you talk about some bad teams. I mean, they're struggling right now out of the gate, and it's frustrating, and I get it because the expectations are way higher, but man, as long as we're not heading back to that, I'll survive.
I can survive
Even if
City
the
Connect
even if
jersey
the
stuff.
even if this year ends up not being what anyone
And look,
expected,
people
but
like the City Connect jerseys, and I'm good with that. And you
some
know,
people do.
I didn't even come off the top rope with Jackie
Yeah.
Robinson, other than with Bernard McKinney this week. And by the way, I hate
The
the
thing,
42s. I love Jackie Robinson, but I don't like being not able to identify the
there are
players.
two
And
things about
that's where
that.
I am with that. Well, there's three things, because I'll add the fact that there are no black players or people in the game anymore, and they've done a horrible job, and it's patronizing to even do it at this point. If you want to do something, go fight the president about taking Jackie Robinson, the president. I can't even, it's inconceivable that I, the
I don't think it's
felon.
all patronizing. I think a lot of people in baseball absolutely want to celebrate Jackie Robinson. So
Yeah.
I'll disagree with you a
And
little bit on
then
that.
for that, they have guys in the outfield that, on Pride Day, tweet out that they don't want to be a part of it. That, you know, so
I don't know what
First
that has to do
Amendment,
with
I'm
Jackie
all for
Robinson.
that, right?
I
So,
don't know what that has
but
to do with Jackie Robinson,
no,
but
but I'm saying all of these players on the political end take their
okay, at
own
the same time,
stance privately
now,
or
African
publicly.
American, I agree with you. And look, these are issues that go well beyond Major League Baseball that
Of
have to be. For one
course.
thing, baseball's not ex as accessible of a sport. It's expensive for plenty of
Travel
low
league.
for plenty of low income white families as well. Let's point out, because I even know a few, hearing how much it costs for their kid to play baseball and trying to figure out the money to do that. So that is absolutely an issue. But let's not ignore the huge population of Hispanic players, and it's not all white, right? Let's at least acknowledge that part of.
I know a Hispanic guy is not allowed in the press box tonight, so you know, I don't, I know that the Roberto Clemente's number was taken off the wall in Pittsburgh until people
Well,
got
Pittsburgh's a
funky about it.
disaster. Yeah, people are
I
pissed
mean,
about a lot of things in
well,
Pittsburgh.
Baltimore's been a disaster for 30 years. You
You
know what I'm
want to
saying? Like, it has been. It really has
know how
been.
much worse it can be? The Pittsburgh Pirates. And I heard this from a Pittsburgh outlet earlier this year, so I assume it's correct. You want to know what they're still the largest outside free agent contract they've signed? Russell Martin, I think it was 2 years, $17 million. It was over a decade ago. You want to talk about a pathetic organization, even worse than the Orioles over the last 30 years? And look, that's a low bar. Like, I'm not saying that to prop up the
Well,
Orioles.
meanwhile, you got Tampa playing
Got
in a
Paul
minor league
Skenes, the best.
stadium. You got the A's running around. I mean, you know, where is the, that was always the thing with Angelos. It's like, we got problems in Oakland. We got problems over here. We got
Got
ownership
problems lots
there.
of
We got,
places. Yeah,
you know,
they
like,
got to figure it out. I
you
mean,
know.
they're. I mean, the Tampa Bay situation. Let's also acknowledge a hurricane destroyed the roof of their ballpark, so that's an extreme one. Oakland, well, Sacramento, or I'm sorry, the Athletics, which is what their official name is now. I mean, that's embarrassing. You throw out the word disgrace a lot, and
Yeah.
I don't. use that word nearly as much.
Well, it's a
That's
disgrace
a
when it's
disgraceful
beneath you.
situation
When it
that.
should, when it's beneath where your standing in life is and what you know to be better, that's when I use the word disgraceful.
But that's
Literally,
one that
that's where it is.
when
It's
you
below
talk
the
about a
bar.
situation that's been years and I mean decades in the making, and they're playing in a minor league ballpark,
Well, yeah, do you
that's
witness the
pathetic.
Expos thing? That was decades in the making as well. You know what I mean? It
But
really was. It
that
wasn't
never
fed the
got
right way.
but even that never got to, well, I guess what they did play in Puerto Rico actually, so maybe
Oh,
which
dude,
that
they.
was yeah I kind of had forgotten about that, but
Yeah.
yeah, I mean it's yeah it's bad. It's really
They
bad.
wanted Puerto
There's
Rico to take the
and by
team,
the
and
way,
Puerto Rico doesn't have electricity as we
I'd
speak
be
right now.
remiss, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I saw this pointed out the other day. They've had empty seats even in that Sacramento minor league ballpark, so it kind of speaks to,
Well, they're charging $80 to get in too,
I
which is
mean.
one of the reasons that Katie Griggs getting a letter from me. Before I just want to say this on the Jackie Robinson thing. I in no way think they shouldn't be honoring Jackie
I know.
Robinson, and
I
I
know.
like the number 42. I just think every player in the sport wearing a blue 42, it is patronizing and it is confusing on that night, and it
Just,
is
yeah.
over the top showy, showing just to show when you could show it the other 364 day. It's like sending box of chocolates and flowers on Valentine's Day and being a jack wagon the other 364 days of the year. So that's how
Fair
I see
enough.
it. That's how I see it. And last thing, dear Katie Griggs, I'm writing a Katie Griggs letter because I've been trying to get my press credential back because everybody keeps asking me about it because they see Mr. Nice Guy Rubenstein. He's got a bobblehead. Do you see Katie Griggs around? And is there anything that you would ask her if she came up and said, "Hey, I hear you work for Nestor, here's media guy. I'll give you 10 minutes. What do you want to know?" Like, what is there anything that you see or feel that you think should be included in legitimate questioning for ownership or management as they give out
I,
bobbleheads this
you know
weekend?
what my first question would be.
Spend money on pitching. That's where you are.
No. Where are you with direct consumer streaming?
Okay.
And I'm not going to include the Nats because you're responsible for the Nats distribution for this last final year. Where the heck are you with, you talk about the fans. Where are you with direct to consumer streaming when you and the Houston Astros, who at the very least, they've won a couple World Series in the last decade, so they've at least reached the pinnacle in terms of on-field success. Where are you with direct-to-consumer streaming? Because from an outsider's view, new ownership coming in, to me, that might be the biggest, that might be at the top of the list as far as the biggest failure, in terms of if you're really trying to make this about the fans and you're trying to make this as accessible as possible, you're 10 years behind. Maybe that's a little unfair. You're at least 4 or 5 years behind the rest of Major League Baseball, when it comes to streaming, because you were late, even allowing mass and subscribers to be able to stream, let alone talking about now where if someone says, I don't want to have to subscribe to $100+ a month Fubo or $200 a month DirecTV to watch your games. So where is that? That's not the only question, but that's a big one for me. I'll continue to, and it resonates because I just cut the cord this winter. So I'm
Well, and
someone.
you're not half my age, but you're a generation behind me. I mean, what are you doing to
You're
keep me and
missing.
my wife engaged in baseball to come down and give you money and continue to wear orange things that aren't Curio sponsored
Sure,
and be a
you
part of
know,
what you're doing, you know?
I recently, you and I were recently in the car with Barry. Not long ago, and Barry and I were talking about this. We're very similar in age. He hasn't watched the Orioles on a regular basis in years because he doesn't have a full-blown cable or satellite subscription. They don't, it doesn't, it's not enough value for them. So to not even be able to have an option to buy something for $20 to $25 or $30 a month, which again, what's the price point that's appropriate? That's for them to figure out. But for that to not even be an option for someone who's in market where you just say, well, I'll watch them when they happen to be on TBS one night, or they're the Fox game of the week this summer, or they happen to be on ESPN for Sunday Night Baseball once or twice this year. Other than that,
Or I'll go down to Costas and watch the game and have a
yeah, or
beer if
I'll
that's
do
what I
that,
want
or
to
I'll
do.
catch them on the radio. Again, I'm 41 and I'm, you can tell like with me, and I have it, I have Fubo, but I'm spending more on that than I would be able to otherwise. So, but what do you think if I'm saying that as, and again, I have to, that's part of my livelihood to watch Maybe not 162, but I watch a very, very high percentage of the games over the course of the year. Well, then what's a 41-year-old who doesn't have to watch all the games, let alone talking about 35-year-olds who have kids, or 30-year-olds who have kids, or 25-year-olds out of college who have grown up in a streaming world where they're not gonna go get an Xfinity or DirecTV subscription. I mean, get out of here. So you're missing out on that, and you've missed out on that for quite a while. Extend Gunnar Henderson and all these other things. The ballpark renovations. There's so much they have to do. There's no doubt about that. But that's a failure when you're one of two teams left, three counting the Nats, which again, the Orioles are responsible for that. Their distribution at the end of the day. So, that's a disappointment to me that they weren't able to figure that out in a year. And I get it. I'm sure they have carrier agreements for this final year with Masson having the Nats rights, but figure it out. Especially, you come in and you're a billionaire and you've got this ownership group, this investor group that you put together. There's got to be a way to figure that out. Maybe they'll announce it in Ju at the All-Star break that they're going to be offering something for the second half. If they do, I'll say good. Finally, that's a good thing. But they don't have it this year, and there's only one other team in baseball other than the Orioles and Nats that are in that same boat. That's not something to be proud of, to state the obvious.
Well, especially if they want to keep you around the rest of your
Sure.
life. I mean, you love baseball. You
I mean, they'll
you're
keep me, but my friends who all stream at this point, they're not watching the games consistently. I
Well,
mean, they're
there you
watching
have
them
it.
when they can, but they're not doing it consistently because they're not going to drop a minimum $100 a month just to access it for, the one streaming service that they are on, which, hey, at least they're on that. So I've been able to save some money on that front. When I say me, I just mean speaking as a consumer, but it's still an expensive commitment that I otherwise, might not be subscribed to something that's that invest, that expensive as it pertains to TV. Because I'm like everyone else. I've got Peacock and I've got Netflix and Amazon and, some of those. And, I could watch WWE on Peacock. I'll be watching WrestleMania this weekend, by the way. But,
The original pay-per-view.
as it pertains to like these, traditional cable, I mean, things are changing and they're changing rapidly. And I'm not even
Rapidly.
saying for the good because all of those things put together, by the way, are starting to become just as expensive as cable and satellite. So it's kind of come full circle. It's just way more of a headache to your point all the time. Where's the game tonight? That's only going to get worse. And that's not an Orioles thing. That's across sports, and it's only getting worse.
They should
Believe me on
beware
that.
that. I
I
call
agree.
that
I agree.
yeah,
But
that is the Garden of Eden, and that's going to be the
they have
original
dollar
sin for
signs
them.
in their eyes. That's all they can
Rob
see.
Nyer and I talked about the other day because he's
Yeah.
running the West Coast League, and we got off the show and we ended. And he said, I hate that when I go to a Major League Baseball game, it feels like all they're trying to do is get as much money out of me as they can. And I said, it's sort of like the peep show in the old days. Put the quarter in to keep the movie going. Put the quarter in, put the quarter in, put the quarter. That's
Let's hope we
what
never get to
that.
that inning by inning. My goodness, can you imagine if they say, "Hey, we've reached the seventh inning stretch. If you want to watch the rest of the game, give us $1.99."
I'm telling you,
Oh, I
dude,
hope
it
not.
feels that way to me.
Oof.
And for that, Katie Griggs is getting a letter this weekend. He
Right.
is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. We're covering sports. We're doing stuff. We're talking community, politics. I got rock and roll this week. I got football this week with the draft. I've got basketball, lots of basketball this week. Beano Ranson last week. Larry Stewart from Coppin State coming this week. Also had a great conversation about graduate studies and getting a better education with our friends over Coppin State. Just had a wonderful chat this week as well. So I am Nestor. He's Luke. We got plenty going on. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Positive.